Welcome to Patterns and Possibilities, Curious Conversations with Ms. Handy. I'm so pleased to begin a new pattern of inquiry that involves an up-close and personal conversation with special guests around the globe who actively use human systems dynamics to transform the patterns in their world. That new pattern of inquiry begins with our special guest right now. I'm delighted to introduce you to John N. Murray. John is a systems thinker, collaborator, teacher, and coach based in beautiful St. Paul, Minnesota. Additionally, since 2020, John has worked as an evaluator at the University of Minnesota Extension as an evaluation specialist. John is a PhD candidate researching the use of systems thinking and complexity science by evaluators. You can learn more about John by reading his bio in our show notes. Welcome to Patterns and Possibilities, John.
Thank you, Tamla. It is wonderful to be here. I have listened to your podcast for the last couple of years, and I appreciate you as a colleague in a number of different HSD circles. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and I'm excited to be able to have this conversation with you. I'm curious, John, what led you to HSD? And what, if anything, at that time were you looking for?
I'm really glad to share this story. It's one that I get to tell often. I came from a youth programming background. I was working in a faith-based organization at that time that was doing service learning programs for youth and young adults for various lengths of time in cities across the United States, as well as a few learning opportunities internationally as well. And we, like many organizations, had different challenges that we continued to face over and over again. And when I would talk to some of my friends in similar organizations or places, we kept running into these things. And now these are what we know them to be as intractable problems or wicked issues. And I was seeking to figure out ways to, I'm a fixer. I'm a handyman. In my spare time, I like to fix things myself before inevitably paying someone to do a better job. But I really wanted to make this work, because when we're doing something good in the world, we have a responsibility as well as a desire to make it better. I kept getting frustrated because all of the quick fixes never seemed to work in our context. And a family friend, a longtime family friend, who's an industrial organizational psychologist, John Simmering, had recently been through the certification program for HSD. He sent me the literature and said, John, I think you would be really interested in this. That was 2015, and we were going through a move. My partner Danae and I were getting ready to move across state, and it turned out we were moving to Minnesota. And so my first introduction to HSD was sitting at a coffee shop with Royce Holiday. We had a bacon Gruyere scone and coffee on a nice fall day, and I was soaking it all in, and was really happy and excited to be there. I got my certification in, I believe, 2016, part of the Las Vegas cohort, and kind of have never really looked back.
Wow. Well, what an interesting way to be introduced to this new place that you're living. You mentioned two things that I want to bring up. So you talked about responsibility and doing good in the world. So definitely, Talk a little bit about how HSD has impacted those two things that you talked about, responsibility and doing good in the world as it relates to parenting.
I'll speak to the latter first. One of the neat things in my cohort and and then in, when I've served as a praxis partner and as a instructor in ensuing cohorts, when we're working with learners or as a learner, we often are invited to use our own personal experiences and stories. And Daniel, I can't tell you the number of times that kids or parenting in some way, shape or form has come up in those scenarios. And whether it's, you know, some milestone like potty training or helping to teach this thing, or I had one person I was a coach for confided in me, you know, they were needing to use adaptive action to work on their frustration and anger and reaction to their kids. And I didn't pay attention to how often that happened until having it myself. Tama, I don't know what I would do without even just adaptive action, let alone all the other tools and resources. And it's not like you sit down and put your kid on a landscape diagram and try to figure it out. But the agility, the ability to not question if you've just messed everything up because you just assume that you probably have, and you figure out what your next wise action is, working together with your partner to do it, bringing in your two different cultural contexts from your family systems. I mean, I could go on and on about how I use it as a parent. But the former then, doing good in the world, in the context I was in with service learning programs, there's a lot of really well-intentioned programs that have been around for a long time that have roots in some probably destructive, intentionally or otherwise, hopefully otherwise, practices, right? I think that particularly in faith-based contexts, there was a lot of harm that has been done with all the best intentions usually. And so being able to step back and take a critical look at what some of those were, to be able to, where appropriate, find ways that those organizations can pivot and take a stance, and then also knowing where maybe we're not supposed to be a part of that container for certain conversations anymore. That's been how I've used it in that context, which was the immediate place that I was in. In other places, you know, we have people doing some incredible work. One of the benefits of the community of practice conversations that we try to host every quarter, we hear from people from around the world who have got these incredible, intractable issues in their local context, you know, from trying to work with neighbors or trying to figure out, you know, I was apart with my colleague, Mary. We were teaching at Eastern Mennonite University at their School of Justice and Peacemaking, using HSD practices for reconciliation work. And these students are coming with this incredible, seemingly intractable problem, right? How are we peacemakers in conflict zones? How are we peacemakers in neighborhoods? You know, how are we peacemakers in places where the tension, the violence, the historical trauma, the political differences, everything is just overwhelming? And sometimes there's no real answer. And it's not that HSD gives this magic key that fixes everything, but it provides opportunities for action in small steps that then can help provide an opportunity to make that difference that might eventually see systematic change, right? Instead of taking the whole pie and trying to eat it at once, you know, we get to have a slice at a time.
Well, I love the way that you've described those two things where you talk about parenting and you gave an example of how it can actually make a difference in the relationships that you have in your neighborhoods as well. So I hope that our audience is getting, as they listen to you talk about HSD, the universal nature of it and how it can flow and help in any situation. You've talked about a lot of different ways that you've used it. Is there a different way that you might have used it? And if so, what ways have you used it?
So how have I used HSD? I would say probably something different than in my personal life or in that original work situation. I'm an evaluator by trade now. This was also something that the HSD community gave me. I didn't know before HSD what an evaluator was, and there are so many wonderful colleagues who have introduced me to this field. But in evaluation, when we're working in systems, historical traditional models are very assumptive of linear trajectories of causal pathways that are very easy to understand, complicated at best, if we're able to use internal language here. When we're confronted with complex issues, or people who think they have complex issues, there's a certain agility. I haven't been able as much to use it explicitly. And that's kind of what my research is about, is how are we able to start using it more explicitly. But implicitly, as a practitioner, it provides opportunities for me to see new places where we can ask questions or different ways. I think scale. I was just with a group yesterday, and we were trying to figure out why their outcomes never seemed to match how they were being measured or reported. And it was a problem of scale, right? Like the goals for the organization that they were trying to abide by, the ways that they were working to address them were not at the same scale. And so because they weren't at the same scale, they weren't effective measures, you know. So as an evaluator, that's another way that it's really affected my practice.
So in your implicit use of HSD, I'm going to ask you to sort of think about the HSD simple rules. Even in an implicit way, which one would you go to the most?
Now, Tamla, this is the part you've asked many of your guests about the simple rules, and I have to admit, we all kind of have areas of the models and methods that make us comfortable or less comfortable, or that we're comfortable or less comfortable working in. I have a really hard time with simple rules. And the problem is I have a hard time narrowing down to really effective ones. However, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but standing in inquiry is a simple rule that I have really taken on. There was a lot about HSD and I think I used the word, and you're reflecting back to me, this implicit use. There were some parts about HSD that I found were really resonant to how I tried to interact with the world generally already. And I'm not trying to say that I knew it before I took the certification, but that it was something that naturally jived with me, if I'm lacking a better word than jiving, but this implicit use jived with how I already saw the world, but it gave me tools to start putting it into practice better when I was confronted with challenging situations. So for me, the implicitness has really been a worldview shift, a perspective shift. I really try to stand in inquiry, to be curious, and to really work for shared exploration amidst conflict. And so now I know I'm going into the rules for inquiry, but I have that posted on my desk, right? Like that's who I am, and what I do is I try to live those things out. And then sometimes we're confronted with stuff, Tamla, where like you have a conflict or a situation. I mean, let's look at, Here in our city, with George Floyd's murder in 2020, that's not a situation where you step back and you say, "Well, let's have some shared exploration." Because there's other times where you know that curiosity and that stance and really working to understand means that we have to be agile enough to understand when to use some of these different points and when not to use some of these different points. And if people aren't able to practice joy, which is another one of simple rules, I don't know if that's one of the official six, but that's one that a lot of folks that I run with use. And if we're not able to practice joy, or if someone in our container is not able to practice joy, then we've got to address that, you know? So the perspective shift.
Well, having been in several rooms with you, I can attest that definitely standing in inquiry is something that you always embody, and you always show up with rich questions and with the enthusiasm that you're generating. With all that you've learned about HSD, now what advice would you give to the HSD community and to the world of human beings who haven't yet experienced HSD?
Thanks, Tamala. And I appreciated you giving me a little bit of a heads up with the questions, because I was prepared for this one in particular. And part of the reason is because, you know, you get asked a question about what advice do you have people, and it's a big burden. But I started thinking back to the different times when I've been a praxis partner, the times when I'm trying to share my HSD story, right? When I'm trying to use it in practice more explicitly rather than implicitly. The two things that I always come back to, and the first is applicable for people who are trained in HSD, or at least knowledgeable of it, as well as people outside the community, and that's empowerment. I think that we really need to be empowering people and feeling that empowerment in ourselves to take action, and not to take action blindly or unwisely or to be rash, but to find a way to assess the situation, see what's happening, and intentionally take our next wise action. Some people I know call it the next faithful step, or that next just taking one move forward towards some kind of solution, because I see, and myself included, this happens to me a lot. I get frozen because I don't know what to do. And the second piece is related, but enough different that I think it's distinct. And that is, don't get stuck in the cycle. So there's the empowerment to take action. Anybody can do it. And then the second one is, when you start feeling empowered to take action, don't feel the weight so much that you get frozen trying to find the best possible step. Or, you know, I'll see people who are looking at their intractable issue and say, oh, HSD is this tool I can use, you know, what, so what, now what, boom, it's fixed. And that's not how it's designed, folks. Like, it's designed to invite us into a process of inquiry, invite us into a process of taking incremental steps that increase our knowledge in the system, that shift things that are either in rapid motion into a little bit less rapid motion, from things that are stagnant into motion. You know, it's meant to make shifts. It's not meant to solve in one swoop, you know, and we hope to be moving towards that. But so often people get stuck in the place that I get stuck a lot is in the so what phase, in that kind of making sense. And I make sense just till I want to know everything before I take an action. And that doesn't do me any good. I've also been with folks who get stuck in what they don't know what the right question is, you know. And I think that the important thing is not just to be empowered, but then to be continuously moving towards that next wise step. And we need to move with humility, but also with confidence into the ability to trust ourselves to take some kind of action.
Well, John, that is some really, really, really rich advice that I'm going to take, because like you said, to be empowered, but to not always think that your what, so what, and now what is always going to stay the same, even if you're dealing with the same type of wicked issue. That may also evolve as well. So taking that time to think about it and understand that it's a continual learning process. It's not stagnant, it is not linear. So, John, this has been a very interesting and eye-opening conversation. And I want to say thank you for giving us an opportunity to journey with you in and with HSD.
Thank you, Tamala. I really appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. I appreciate the opportunity to hopefully inspire others to engage and to learn more with the people around them, if nothing else. And join us for an event, join us for an activity. But most of all, thanks to you, Tamala, for the opportunity to self-reflect. I really enjoyed thinking about this and preparing for this conversation.
Well, you're welcome, and I'm definitely inspired. It has been my pleasure.
I'm so grateful that you've joined us for our new pattern of curious conversations with Miss Handy. Be sure to tune in next time when we'll talk to another one of our special guests from around the globe about their unique HSD, What, So What, and Now What experience. Until then, continue using adaptive action to discover all of the patterns and possibilities that exist in your world.